So Lewis and I were out to eat recently, and I saw something that made me really, really sad. There were parents in line to get food. The children were zoned out at the table. They weren't looking around. They weren't talking to each other. They weren't wondering how much longer it would be before their parents returned to the table. They were just totally oblivious, not excited about what they were going to eat or drink in this restaurant. And when I say zoned out, I mean totally zoned out. They were completely immersed in their screens, staring at their screens. By the time the food arrived to the table, there were two parents and four children sharing two smartphones and one tablet. There was no conversation. The screens stayed in use throughout the whole meal. I just couldn't watch, but of course I had to peek from time to time just to see if maybe things had changed. But I had to sit where I couldn't see because it just made me really sad. And I can't go up to complete strangers and try to implore them with what their children are missing. Their kids were about 2 to 10 years old, and they were just missing out on so much. They were missing out on smiles and voice tones and the joy of having yummy food and the environment of other people in the restaurant. They looked like little zombies. And again, it made me sad. So I didn't feel like I could lovingly go and share with them how what their kids were missing out on, what the parents were missing out on. So I'm going to tell you and hopefully help you see things a little differently and share that. So I know. Hear me out. My children, who are full-grown adults, they were not raised in a time of constant media presence. I admit that I don't truly know what you are going through as parents in this time frame. In fact, when I was so stressed at the restaurant, Lewis said, you know, that could have been us if we had had the same temptations. It was a really big deal in our household when we got a portable TV DVD set for the car, you know, that had the screens that hung down from the front headrests. Those were lifesavers on long trips. I'm sure that Chase and Janie could tell you that before we had those, we had to pull over or threaten a lot to pull over. And being bored in the back seat for hours on end, it's quite the challenge for siblings. When I was a kid, as the youngest, I didn't have loads of backseat trips with my brother and sister. I was the baby of the family. Most of my childhood, the backseat was all mine. I could look out the window and play the sign game. And if I hadn't been prone to car sickness, I could have spent more time reading or coloring or completing word puzzles. I certainly remember the boredom, but I didn't have opportunities for fighting. Our kiddos had plenty of such opportunities. The screens that we had for trips made car trips quicker and much more peaceful. So I get it. I remember waiting at restaurants, and the waiting included lots of coloring pages, some folding challenges. I remember towers being built from creamer tubs and sugar packets. Don't ask me how that always worked, but as long as we had two bowls of creamer, one for each, we were set. As a family, we did talk. Sometimes we talked over each other. We talked about the food, the smells, the noise. We talked about how many people were in the restaurant. We talked about the weather. We talked about just whatever was going on in our family at the time. My children, our children, Lewis was pretty insistent on this, always ordered their own food. I mean, they actually looked a server in the eye and placed their orders. We felt that it was very important for children to have eye contact with everyone and for them to develop maturity, independence, and self-expression. We probably did okay on that, but what we weren't thinking about, because we didn't have to, is that through each of these experiences, our children were developing social skills, language skills, skills of observation. They could make predictions like how long it would be before our food arrived. They could practice math skills as they added up all the prices on the menu. their visual perception skills were being developed as well. All of these things were happening in addition to growing imagination and patience. I mean, building towers with creamer tubs, it was kind of cool. All of these things were happening without us even thinking about it. We have an epidemic. I know that's a dramatic word, but I really believe it to be true, and research confirms. We have an epidemic of children who are struggling with fine motor skills because they typically use one finger only as they're swiping. I'm sure you've had difficulty with somebody in service industry who struggles to communicate effectively and appropriately, verbally and non-verbally. Has anybody else had this problem when you're trying to order something or have a conversation on the phone if you're asking a question about a product? It's a problem that we now have adults who can follow directions, but they don't necessarily think for themselves or think creatively. We have a lot of people who are in the working field, young adults, who are struggling. And I'm on this soapbox. I'm sorry, it's a soapbox, but I'm on this soapbox because I'm asking you to take inventory of how much time your children spend on screens. Our children were made for more. They were created by the Creator. They were created by the Creator to be creative. I believe that our children were made, each for a specific purpose. I would love to see the fullness of that purpose and potential. And it's beautiful to see when our children are growing to just kind of look down the road and wonder what God is doing in their lives and in their hearts. Even when our children are wiry, chatty, curious, media is a very powerful and wonderful tool. It's good for so many things, and it is so helpful, and it is even helpful for our children, but it should be monitored and used wisely. Even completely wholesome content will restrict or can restrict creativity, restricts language development, social interactions, and results in some pretty major dopamine hits in the brain. The brain becomes more and more in need of that. And when screen time becomes reduced, you might even see really grumpy or even disrespectful behaviors and attitudes. You might notice a reduced focus or ability to complete chores in a timely manner if your children are spending a lot of time on screens. I've heard that many educators and counselors, I know I do, ask, and I'm not a counselor, but I am a parent and educator, but I will ask people if they're concerned about a child's attentional issues. The first question I always ask is, how much time is your child spending on a screen of some sort? But I have heard stories of children who improve greatly in all of the areas, like their attitude, grades, interaction, creativity, and sleep, being able to sleep better, which also helps with attitude and grades and interactions. But these things can be improved just by eliminating screen usage for a period of time, a couple of days or a week, or significantly reducing the amount of daily time on screens. I remember a few years ago, I heard a lady talking about, she was a hairstylist, and she said that whenever the mom came in, she brought her boys with her, and they were out of control in the salon. And then a few months later, she brought them in, and the stylist did not recognize the children by their behavior. And she said, "What in the world has happened?" And she said, "Well, it's summertime and we are having a screen-free summer." And it made a total difference. So you might see that in your family by a reduction or just trying to have clear parameters for when it's okay for children to be watching videos or playing games. I would hope that that you would see benefits from that. But please remember that whenever you are restricting or reducing screen time, or anything else for that matter, it is very helpful to substitute something else in place of screen time. I would recommend saying something like, "I want you to have more time to play with your friends. I want you to have more time to play outdoors. I want you to have more time to complete your homework. I want you to have more time to build with your blocks. I want you to help prepare dinner. In order to do this, your screen time needs to be limited to, and you can say how much time that is. The author of The Mediatrician's Guide, Dr. Michael Rich, was recently at the Children's Foundation of Mississippi Summit, which was held at USM, and he encouraged, he talks with parents, but he was telling us about it. He encourages parents to help children see their daily time in the context of water in a measuring cup. Put enough ounces in the of water in a measuring cup equal to the number of hours in a day. And you pour out how much sleep your child needs. And by the way, you might be surprised how much time that really is. Then the children pour out how much water is equal to other time constraints, such as school, soccer practice, etc. When everything that is required is poured out, look at how much is left. And help your child reasonably maturely decide how much of that time they would like to spend on things like riding their bikes, reading, or even on their screens. But they make a conscious, responsible choice. He teaches, Dr. Rich encourages teaching children to be wise consumers of their time very early. We could all stand to become wise consumers of our time, because ultimately it's not our time. Our time belongs to the Lord, and we can honor Him with it. Thank you for listening to my my soapbox today. If you would like more information about screen time or media usage in child development, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'll see you soon.